Ramsey.
HD3 Detroit.
KJAQ.
HD3 Seattle.
WBMX.
HD3 Boston. AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston. I'm a professional counselor with over 25 years of experience, an intuitive and holistic healer for the past 18 years with over 25 different modalities. My joy and purpose is because I love to guide and assist people to feel expansive and empowered as they move from their heads to their hearts. You can visit me at www.intuitivesoul.com and book your private session today. All right. Well, tonight we have Nancy Arruda from Universal Skies. And we've had her on. This is your second show, isn't it? And yes. We had you on back in January.
Yes.
Cool. So Nancy is a great astrology friend of mine. And so we're going to talk about the aspects. I don't think we're going to have a call-in show this week. So if you have questions, I will be back next week and it will definitely be a call-in show. Let's sort of start. I guess, you know, everybody knows of the one retrograde that we're in right now because everybody seems to be impacted by Mercury. So let's talk about what's going to be happening. This month seems to be kind of jam-packed with retrogrades.
Yes. There are quite a few planets are retrograde right now. Now, the outer planets retrograde for a long period of time. So when we're talking about Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, when they go into a retrograde phase, it's for a long period of time. So it doesn't play quite as much havoc in our day-to-day life.
Right.
With Mercury retrograde, because it is the closest planet to the sun, and the sun represents our ego, so Mercury's the mind and how the mind communicates, not only with our sense of spirit and our ego, but also with the other aspects.
So it's the closest planet to the sun?
Mercury, yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that, but I didn't know that.
I think you learned that in grade 2.
Yeah, whatever. I know we're the fourth planet, but, you know, other than that.
Well, the closer to the sun, the smaller the orbit.
Right.
Okay.
Which is why we have it so frequently.
Right. And, but typically when it is frequent, meaning you get more than one retrograde period a year, you get it for a shorter period of time as well. And with Mercury retrograde, when it goes retrograde, it kind of plays havoc with anything that it rules. So the thought process, how we communicate, short distance travel is also ruled by Mercury. So that's where the chaos really comes into play.
Now, communication.
Communication. And in today's day and age, we use technology as a tool to communicate. So, you know, a lot of people may be having little issues with their technical equipment. I'm having them not to the extreme as some Mercury retrogrades, but there's like little glitches, like printer errors. This morning, I went to print off a 10-page document and, you know, 100 page later, I had little smiley faces and stars and hearts all over the page and like, stop the print, stop. And it just kept going and going and going.
Nice.
Right? Yeah.
Nice.
So that would be something that I would blame on Mercury retrograde. But, you know, it's not really his fault.
No, right.
We need to be responsible for our own actions here. But the difficulty with Mercury retrograde is the miscommunication factor. Okay, so either misperceiving information or not gathering enough information can lead to forms of miscommunication. Once you get into forms of miscommunication and then you start letting your emotions play with that as well, then it creates other issues, stuff like rage. Okay.
Right.
So this particular Mercury retrograde, it went retrograde while it was in the sign of Virgo.
Okay.
So Mercury had just entered into Virgo. Which Mercury is very strong in that sign because Virgo rules Mercury, or Mercury rules the sign of Virgo. So it is very strong. So it's really about our analytical process, how we analyze information. Or how our thought process kind of plays in its systematic way. So there's a little discombobulation with that in the sense that, so it started in Virgo and it is now retrograded back into the sign of Leo. And Leo being a fire sign, that's where we're dealing with more of the ego issues in this particular Mercury retrograde.
Because Leo's all about ego.
Leo is the sign of the ego. It's on a higher level. It's your sign of your spirit.
Okay.
Which is more your, you know, your masculine sense of identity. Okay. Or like your internal spirit. So how you feel things at a heart level.
Okay.
Is the Leo vibration on a non-ego level. Otherwise, it rules your personality and your sense of identity, okay, which is connected to the ego. So our sense of spirit is a little misaligned right now. A lot of people are feeling that, some people on a larger scale than others. So, and if we recap about this year's vibration, when I always do the numerology every mm-hmm. year, so this year's a four, right. And four is connected to the Emperor in the tarot, which is really about mastery and power, being self-empowered or tapping into your own personal power. So we're dealing with power issues all year. The Emperor card is ruled by the sign of Aries, and Aries is ruled by the planet Mars. Okay, so we got to look at the details of Mars. Right now, Mars is in the sign of Cancer, and when Mars is in Cancer, it's not very assertive. It's more of a passive-aggressive kind of vibration. So, you know, you may notice a lot of people are being more passive-aggressive. Throw in the miscommunication with Mercury retrograde, and the dynamic of what Mars is doing right now. So yesterday, Mars was square Uranus, which can wreak a little bit of havoc. People desiring to break free from restriction. We probably started feeling the vibration on
Breaking rules.
Yeah. Yep. Being very angry, lots of rage, you know, take
blaming
a look at what's
else.
Going on in England right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
You're dealing with that primal, aggressive rage, okay, based on an event that transpired. I don't know all the details, so I don't really want to get into it, but it's an event that transpired that was then miscommunicated by the masses, okay? And tomorrow, there's another Mars vibration, which is pretty intense as well, and that is Mars opposite Pluto. And here you have the two planets that represent destruction working against each other. So they're both trying to destroy something just at different levels. So Mars works fast, Pluto works slow. So the type of destruction that Pluto does is more that evolutionary, transformative, things need to change, right? Everything changes through evolution. Right. Whereas Mars is more that fast, active, aggressive, emotional type of change, the stuff we don't like or that we're enraged about. So when these two planets interact, you really don't know what's going to happen. There's times where it could just pass you by, or there's times it can get really, really loud. And based on what's happening over in Europe still, okay, it's still seeming pretty loud to me. So we have those two Mars vibrations, okay? Throw in the Mercury retrograde. We also have some outer planet retrogrades. So Uranus is retrograde?
Right.
And let me check my notes for the date.
Pluto, okay. And Neptune.
Just so we can quote the dates here. Uranus went retrograde on July the 9th. And this particular Uranus retrograde is the opportunity to awaken the capacity for self-transcendence. So we're really trying to awaken to our authentic nature overall. Like, that's what humanity's working towards. We need to do that within ourself first. Okay, so as we approach the age of Aquarius, Aquarius' ruling planet is Uranus. I look at this because the other emphasis of Uranus being in the sign of Aries, which is our global vibration, Uranus is also a four vibration in the tarot. It's the Fool card, which is either numbered zero or, if you follow it systematically, it's 22.
Okay.
And 2 + 2 = 4. Okay. So there's this emphasized energy globally for the year with this Uranus entering into Aries officially this year. And now with its retrograde phase, it's like, how do I change who I am to be more of who I desire to be or more of my authentic self? And that's kind of what we're going through with this Uranus retrograde. So we're transcending on some level. In order for us to make changes, because Uranus isn't an expect the unexpected, it's change as well. But in order for us to make these changes, we need to go back and think about what do we want to change? What characteristics around the self do we want to release? Which ones do we want to enhance? Right. It will station direct on December the 10th. So as I had mentioned before, outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, have a longer retrograde period, but typically they only retrograde once a year. So again,
some not at all in the year, right? Like, would Pluto be like every couple of years? No? Or is it every year?
No, it's every year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically, Pluto goes retrograde for a longer period of time.
Every year?
Every year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If it falls out of our calendar year, it falls out by a day, maybe.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
So, yeah. Typically, it has at least one retrograde period a year.
Wow.
So, and with Uranus, it's finishing on December the 10th. So it will be retrograde all the way to December 10th. Jupiter right now is direct, but it's preparing for a retrograde.
Right.
Jupiter retrogrades on August 30th. Oh. So just as Mercury comes out of its retrograde phase and stations direct on August 26th, it will move direct. So communications can now start to run smooth again. Jupiter is preparing to go retrograde.
The big planet.
The big planet. The big, big guy. Yeah. The biggest one in our universe.
Right. But also, like, it's just has that big energy.
Well, it's about expansion and growth and abundance. So typically when we're working with Jupiter,
not luck, even though that's what everybody says.
Well, people associate abundance to luck.
That's why.
If you look at it, luck from a metaphysical perspective, luck does not exist.
Right.
Okay. It's a perspective.
Right.
It's not a reality. Based on your hopes, wishes, and dreams. So if you hope for something and it happens, well, you're going to call the person lucky. Are they lucky? No. Something happened that they wanted to happen.
Right.
So that's what luck is. So there is no good luck, bad luck. Those are perspectives.
Right.
Right. On a situation being good or bad.
Right.
So yes, the big expansive planet, the one that makes us feel all those wonderful big things,
right,
will be going retrograde.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break on that point right now. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Nancy Aruda from UniversalSky.com. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Join Kimmy Rose on Interviews, Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. Together as a community, we will embrace the challenges in life and find a way to experience heaven on earth. Spiritual teachers and Kimmy will bring you insight on how to change your life and embrace purpose. Interviews this Thursday night starting at 9. It's all about what's within you.
Promise you the world again, everything within my hands, all the riches one could dream, they will come from me. I hope that you could understand, this is not what I had planned. This is not what I had planned. Please don't worry now. It will turn around. 'Cause I need more time. Just a few more months and we'll be. Inside, so say alright, 'cause I know we can.
the life you've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Believe.
NewSkyRadio.com.
My work is empowering women to connect with our true power, bringing us back into balance as we become more conscious in this unbalanced world. All right, so we are here with Nancy Arruda, and her website is www.universalsky.com, and we're talking about astrology. So we ended it at break. We were talking about Jupiter.
Yes.
An expansive Jupiter.
Expansive Jupiter and the retrograde cycle.
Yes.
So Jupiter does go retrograde on August the 30th. And this particular Jupiter retrograde, it will be retrograde until December 24th.
Oh.
So, yes, it goes direct on December 25th.
Hmm. Right at Christmas?
Right on Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. But, again, Jupiter doesn't play havoc with us like Mercury does because it's farther away from the sun. It's further from our ego. But it's really here where we're going to start focusing on what do we want to attract in our life? What type of abundance do I want to bring to me? And it's the internal process that we go through while Jupiter's retrograde on, like, we're doing an internal process on what do we desire to attract externally, right?
So it's kind of going back to some of the things that we've been working on that were, you know, who we are and what we're, so more of a soul level internal, what is it that we're working on?
Yeah. It's in the sign of Taurus right now, which is associated to our values and beliefs. Okay. So what do we value and believe in on a personal level? Not on a society level, but personally. Like we can often take on the values and beliefs of other people, but this isn't about other people's beliefs. It's about our own. So it's about identifying with our own authentic ones. And this particular Jupiter retrograde is also stimulating a clearing of ego consciousness and an embracing of your true inner nature. So while Jupiter's retrograde, we're going to be processing our ego consciousness. Like, be aware or observe the thoughts that are going on in your mind and ask yourself while you're having those thoughts, is this bothering me because my ego's attached to it? Or is this a higher learning or, you know, something that's beyond the ego connection?
Hmm.
Because it's about trying to listen to that voice within. And what is that voice trying to tell you? Jupiter's asking you to go to the place of the observer while it's in a retrograde and really observe all those large things that are transpiring inside your body, those big emotions, the ones that trigger anything that's expanded. Okay. So that, or even that internal feeling of expansion. If Jupiter's transiting through your first house, what typically happens, so in your natal chart, if you have Taurus rising, what will happen during this time is there'll be a need for wanting to eat a lot.
Mm.
Okay, because we're trying to fulfill some sort of desire on a physical level.
Well, thank God it's not there or mine. I don't need
Me
that.
Too. Me too. That's all I can say. This is actually my progressed first house, so I'm kind of battling with that. But anyway, so here we're focusing on identifying with our true nature, our true internal nature, our authentic self, our expansive self. You know, when you tap into something that you're really proud of or that you enjoy and you feel that sense of passion on an internal level, it's almost like your chest is expanding and it feels like it's just going to crack open with so much joy and happiness because you're aligning with that path and purpose. So with this particular Jupiter retrograde, we're processing all that stuff and determining, is this in alignment with my passion? Is that in alignment? Is this like resonate true with me or is it somebody else's belief? So that's what we'll be doing during this Jupiter retrograde.
Does it stay in Taurus or does it go into okay.
It stays in Taurus. I believe it's in Taurus till the end of the year, going into next year before it changes signs. I brought my book.
Yeah.
My ephemeris, which shows me all the planets. Yes, it doesn't shift into Gemini until June of 2012.
But when it's in retrograde, it doesn't go back to Aries.
No, okay. It stays in Jupiter. Oh, sorry, it stays in Taurus.
All right.
Yes. So, and, you know, I'm a little bit excited that the Mercury retrograde doesn't overlap.
Yes.
With the Jupiter retrograde.
Although Mercury will still be in its shadow phase, right?
Yes. Yeah. It will still be in its shadow phase until September 10th. And what the shadow phase means, you say the word shadow and some people get scared. Dark energy. Oh no. And that's not what we mean in this case, by no means. When a planet goes retrograde, it goes retrograde at a specific degree. So if we think of the universe as being like a circle, there's 360 degrees all the way around our orbits, right? It'll pick a degree within the zodiac that it will go retrograde. And it doesn't really stop and go backwards. It just appears that way from Earth. So it's kind of like an illusion. The planet is slowing down so that now Earth is traveling faster than the planet. So it's perceived that the planet goes backwards. And from the Earth perspective, we'll measure it backwards, but it's really not traveling backwards. Okay, so it's an illusion. And with the shadow period, so for example, Mercury went retrograde on August 2nd at 1 degree of Virgo. It's going to travel backwards into the sign of Leo. It goes direct August 26th at 18 degrees of Leo. So now it's gone from the 1 degree of Virgo backwards to the 18 degrees. The shadow period is when the planet starts moving forward again. So now it's shifted into its direct motion, but it now has to re-travel forward over that space that it just traveled backwards. So on September the 10th, 2011, Mercury will be back at 1 degree of Virgo, 12 minutes, which is when it went retrograde on August the 2nd. So that's the shadow period. And what that is a period of synthesis. So everything that you've learned on an internal level while it was traveling backwards now has to be played out externally, or you need to start living those changes that you've just, you know, revised or replanned or resynthesized with. So you're synthesizing it and taking your new plan forward.
And why is it with Mercury, there's also a period before where there's
the pre-shadow. Yeah. The pre-shadow is if you take the degree it goes direct on and when was it at that degree prior to the Mercury retrograde, that's when, like, all the little tiny things will start happening. And then once Mercury does hit retrograde, those little tiny things become louder. Okay. So like my little printer story, for example, I've been having issues with that printer for 2 years now. The only time it becomes like possessed by some, I don't know, entity out there or just start spewing off sheets of symbols, is during a Mercury retrograde. So it's like, if I have any classes or workshops or anything where I need printed materials, I need to give myself a week to print it off, because there's times where it just won't print anything. And I have to shut down the whole system and walk away and try it again tomorrow. So right. I need to give myself lots of time to prepare, because I know my printer does that. Really old printer, newer computer. That's the problem.
I see. Well, at least it's still working.
It still works. It just, you know, from time to time, we'll waste a lot of paper.
Right. So those aren't the only planets that are in retrograde right now.
No. Other planets in retrograde are, so Uranus is in retrograde.
Right.
Jupiter's approaching a retrograde. Saturn retrograde is completed for the year.
Good.
Okay, so that was from, it went retrograde January 26th, went direct on June the 12th. Okay. Typically when Saturn is retrograde, that's more about reestablishing your place in society or redefining your career, or, you know, it's more about your foundation and career life. So your foundational life, your home environment, as well as your career life.
Right.
But we don't have to worry about Saturn, because Saturn's not really doing a lot for the rest of the year. Still in the sign of Libra, which means there's limitations and restrictions within relationships, some karmic stuff coming up with relationships, and it's about trying to establish a balance. So for those people who feel like their life is really unbalanced now, it's how does that karmically play into everything that you've created right now? It's a little bit karmic, which means there's some lessons around it. Okay.
Right.
It doesn't mean bad stuff is going to happen. It just means there's higher lessons connected to it. But right now we don't need to worry about Saturn too much. Neptune is also retrograde. Neptune officially moved into the sign of Pisces this year.
Right.
On April the 4th.
Right.
It went retrograde on June the 3rd. Just last week, August 4th, it retrograded back
into Aquarius.
And the retrograde of it being back into Aquarius is kind of like we're working on completing that vibration of oneness. So taking all our separate identities, our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical identities, we often see those as separate aspects in life. Okay, so like if my emotional nature is out of whack, I might take care of my emotional nature today, but I'm not taking care of my physical nature. Whereas with this final retrograde back into Aquarius, we're like trying to synthesize that vibration of oneness. If you need an emotional day, take a physical day, take a mental day, put them all together into one day and treat yourself as opposed to, well, I'm not feeling well today physically, so I'll take the day off. And then tomorrow you're not feeling well emotionally, but can you really justify taking the day off? If you're not emotionally well, mentally unstable today, I can't take the day off. So it's about really learning how to honor the process within yourself and finding that sense of oneness without, trying to justify what part of yourself needs the day off. Mm-hmm. And I'm using day off as an example.
Right.
Right. So we're trying to complete that vibration of oneness because Neptune in Pisces is about being one. Okay, we kind of went into the oneness, got all discombobulated with all the other energy that was going on. And now we need to step back and say, okay, where did we lose that sense of oneness? How can we finally put it back together? Because Neptune will officially move back into the sign of Pisces February 3rd, 2012 until 2024-25.
Yeah, it's a long one.
So it's there for a while. Neptune does move direct on November the 9th. So we still have a few more months of the Neptune retrograde.
Okay.
When it's interesting because my personal experience with Neptune retrograde is that's when my illusions get shattered when it goes retrograde. So whatever I was creating and I had this grandiose illusion around, right? Like something fabulous or fantastic is going to happen because this is just so wonderful. When it goes retrograde, it's like, oh, it was just a dream. It's not a reality. Okay. So that's kind of like when some of your illusions get shattered is when it kind of stations back into the retrograde. Then you have the whole time to process those illusions and say, where did I go wrong? Where did I misperceive something? Where did I not see clearly? Because Neptune is fog.
Yeah.
It's confusion. It's fog.
I know. It's been in my sign for so long.
Yeah. You just want it out of there.
You know, really? I so want it out of there.
Yeah. I hear you on that one.
Okay. So we've been talking with Nancy Ruta from UniversalSky.com. You're listening to Intuitive Soul through Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
loved ones in their care. Here's to the strangers on the streets tonight. Here's to the lonely everywhere. Here's to the wisdom from the mouths of babes. Here's to the lions in the cage. Here's to the struggles of the silent war. Here's to the closing of the age. Here's to you, my love. My blessings from above, my other day begin. Oh, here's to you.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
I'm a private intuitive counselor empowering people to live from their hearts. Intuitive Soul Radio is every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sky Radio. On Mondays at 1 p.m., I have a show with co-host Jean Adrian called Voices of Soul, again, right here on New Sky Radio. All right, we are talking with Nancy Arruda from UniversalSky.com, and we ended talking about Neptune.
Yes.
And, we did have a correction to make, because I was sure that there was I knew that there was some planet that was almost 2 years, and I knew that, anyway, Venus and Mars, so...
Yes, Venus and Mars do not retrograde every year. They are the two planets. I was thinking when you had mentioned that,
outer
planets. They go retrograde every year.
Which so doesn't make sense because they're further away. It doesn't make sense why.
Yes,
but
it has to do with the orbit. And because the orbit's not a complete circle, it's more
ecliptical.
Ecliptical, yes.
Oh.
So it depends on where it is within the universe.
Okay.
But with Mars and Venus, they travel... It takes them, Venus is approximately 18 months to complete the zodiac.
Right.
And it will go retrograde once within that 18 months. Mars takes 22 to 24 months to complete the zodiac, and it will go retrograde once within that 22
right.
to 24 months.
Which is confusing to me, because how many years does it take for Pluto to go through it? And they go every year.
Yes, and Pluto retrogrades every year. Pluto travels about 4 or 5 degrees a year. So that's why like a Pluto transit is 13 years long.
Yeah.
And if Pluto's interacting with something in your own natal chart, typically you will have 3 hits of that. Like, so it'll hit you on the direct, then it'll hit you on the retrograde, and then hit you on the direct again. But it can take up to 3 years to have those 3 hits.
Wow.
And that's where we call Pluto like the evolutionary planet, because he's really helping us evolve on a bigger level. Not in the day-to-day stuff like Mercury.
Right.
You know, Mercury doesn't have a sense of evolution, really. It's more about day-to-day stuff, right? So it's more connected to our ego, where Pluto's more connected to our soul. Or the vibrations or rulings of Pluto are connected more to our soul's evolution and the transformation that happens to us from birth till death within one life cycle.
Right, right.
Where Mercury goes through the whole zodiac, I believe it's 88 days.
Right.
So it,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the one that's closest. Right, and so... Okay, we'll come back to Mercury because there's something significant happening with Mercury, but there's one more planet I don't think we've talked about.
Pluto.
Pluto
is also retrograde.
Right.
He went retrograde on April the 9th, and he stations direct on September 16th.
Okay.
I found this Pluto retrograde not to be intense. Like, I wasn't really focused on evolution or transformation on an evolutionary level. Although with Pluto in Capricorn, it is about the transformation of society and how society is changing. Our old social structures do not support the new Earth, so to speak, or the new age of consciousness that's coming out. They were set up in a time where information wasn't as available as it is today. Okay, so a lot of our structure was set up on, you know, you can't have the information for long periods of time. Everything took time to complete or do. Now that Pluto's in Capricorn, it's where does society need to be restructured? So what parts of our evolutionary journey as society or humanity needs to change so that it can evolve with the new children or the new people that are coming to Earth, right? The new consciousness, really. It's not so much new people, it's new consciousness. The more awakened mind.
Right.
So the other really interesting thing is I found it interesting when we're talking about Neptune earlier, mm-hmm. right? And how past life regression, for example, is becoming more and more documented. And I had saw, talking about new consciousness, okay, where there was an 11-year-old child who kept tapping into a past life, and his parents actually went and researched that past life, talked to old people, they looked at old photos, and he was calling everybody by name, and here he is, an 11-year-old.
Wow.
So with the new souls that are being born, they have more of an open mind or an open sense of connection to spirit. And that's how we're shifting. Each generation brings something new. And it's the new generation that is bringing more of an awakened consciousness into being. Again, as human beings, we need to remember that even though those children are very evolved, they still require structure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they have the ability to tap into past life memories, like to the T, with extreme accuracy, which can be documented and researched. But they don't necessarily remember everything that you learn as you're growing up about, you know, what's proper.
Right.
So even though these new kids are coming into play, they have been for a while, you know, if you're a parent of one of these children, you still need to set very healthy boundaries with them.
Preferably, yes. Okay, so the next big one that we're going to talk about is like the eclipse, but Mercury also goes in retrograde one more time, and it's right around the next eclipses.
I'm assuming November should be an interesting month.
They thought that this month was going to be really interesting. It has been. It's not finished yet, so
no.
We'll see what happens in the next couple weeks.
I'm hoping the energy clears up a little bit in September, October, before we go back into November.
Right.
Yes, so Mercury does go retrograde again on November the 24th. Okay. It will retrograde at 20 degrees of Sagittarius. And it's where we're using our imagination and make-believe in anticipating a higher stage of development or a higher stage of consciousness. So it sounds like it can be a playful one.
Okay.
If your ego's not attached to the day-to-day mundane stuff. So like, for example, the printer. Okay.
Right.
I can now laugh at my printer because it's been happening for 2 years. It's still frustrating when it happens, but it's like I can just chalk it off. Like I can flip it really quickly.
Right.
And I think that's what we're trying to learn with all these intense periods of energy is when you get to the point where you're about to snap or you've hit your boiling point, how can you flip it in that moment? Because you've already hit the maximum that you can take of that energy. So your only option is to surrender and change your perspective on what's transpiring. So I think like there's the opportunity for a lot of laughs and giggles during the next Mercury retrograde. I say that because Sagittarius it's a fire sign. It's passionate, but it's also very flexible. So it's more of a flexible energy than Scorpio.
Right.
Okay. Which is very intense and deep and non-changing. I don't want to change, even though they rule change, right?
Right.
It goes direct on December the 13th. So, which, you know, I'm not too happy about, but that's okay.
Because it's the day after
my
birthday.
Yes. It's during that retrograde period that we will also experience an eclipse.
Right.
So I had mentioned that it goes retrograde on November 24th. Well, on November 25th, we have a partial solar eclipse at 2 degrees of Sagittarius. Okay. So there's going to be miscommunication as well as people really need to open their mind, their higher mind, tap into that higher consciousness. Because this isn't so much about the information that's being shared on a personal level. This is more about what's the big picture connected to this little incident that's transpiring.
Hmm.
Okay. Then on December the 10th, there is the lunar eclipse, which is more intense than a solar eclipse at 18 degrees of Gemini. With the Sagittarius Gemini expressions, we're working with what do we need to clear on an information / knowledge level? Do we need more education? Do we need less education? Do we need more information? Do we need less information?
Knowledge and wisdom versus...
Knowledge and wisdom versus information.
Yeah. Consciousness or...
Yes. So, like, how are you communicating your information? Okay, because that's going to come back as a higher evolved lesson. So it's, taking responsibility for the words that you speak kind of thing. You're not in control of other people's reactions based on what you say, but you really need to be aware of your intent on when you're saying something. So it's truly about aligning with your intention.
Now, is the lunar one a full or partial?
It is a total lunar eclipse.
Is that going to be visible here, or do you know?
I didn't record the time, so I have no idea.
Okay.
December 10th.
We can do it after break, because we'll be going to break shortly.
Okay. So I'm not 100% sure on where it's happening in the... It may be visible here.
Okay.
It's in the morning, so it depends on how early in the morning.
Right. Because the last one we had that was in January of this year was pretty cool, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't seen a solar one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a long time. But, yeah.
So, yeah. Total lunar eclipses, you do not look at them. Oh, solar eclipses.
Solar, yeah.
Solar eclipses, you don't look at. Sorry. My mistake.
Lunar ones are kind of fun to look at.
See, another Mercury retrograde thing. I flipped it backwards. That wasn't my fault. That was Mercury retrograde.
Of course it was. All right, we're going to go to break now. You're listening to Intuitive Soul, and we have Nancy Ruta from UniversalSky.com. This is Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Join Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 noon Pacific as metaphysical mother and TV personality Rob and Alexis helps countless people around the globe live fuller and more conscious lives. Robin serves you using her gifts as a medium, medical intuitive, past life reader, and more. Get your free on-air readings Wednesday at 3 Eastern and 12 noon Pacific right here on the Sky. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
The Salvation Army band played, and the children drank the lemonade, and the morning lasted all day. Through an open window came, like Sinatra in a younger day, pushing the town away. Oh, hail mama, mama, mayor, hail mama, mayor, laughing at northern time. We never would wave goodbye. You could see it written in his eyes as the train rolled out of sight. Bye.
Laughing at all the time. Live the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
My focus is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can visit me at intuitivesoul.com and book your private session today. So we're talking with Nancy Arruda, and her website is www.universalsky.com. And we're talking all about the astrological aspects of the from here to the end of the year.
Yes.
Because we'll have her back at the beginning of next year to talk about
next
what's happening
stuff.
Next year's stuff. So we ended where we were talking about the eclipses.
Yes.
And we do have news about the total eclipse.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Oh, right. Yeah.
sort of the lunar eclipse.
From a Eastern perspective. Standard time. Okay. So the Eastern Standard Time, it will be approximately 1:30 in the morning. So we will be able to observe the total lunar eclipse.
Right.
On the Pacific coast, we're not 100% sure because it all depends on when it gets dark there at
right.
that time of year.
So. But it'll be 9:30. So likely
yeah.
at that time
so
of the year.
So they may be able to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Probably.
You can go outside. And even if you don't want to stay up till 1:30 in the morning, typically an hour to an hour and a half, even before the eclipse, you start getting that bright glow that right. transpires out in the sky. So you can still capture that.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, set your alarm, wake yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting just to see the energy.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it's almost as if you can see energy emanating out of the moon itself.
Yeah.
Right?
It's really cool. I always, so. Yeah.
Yeah. I like looking at them too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so, okay. So the eclipse energy for the lunar eclipse is what? It's Gemini. Yes?
Oh, you know what? The partial solar eclipse we will see. That is the one that takes place in the morning. See another Mercury thing here.
Look at you.
The lunar eclipse, we probably won't see because the GMT is at 1400 hours, 1433. So that puts us to the morning.
That puts us in the morning.
Yes.
All right. So
you will see the glow of the solar eclipse. We will see in Eastern Standard Time.
During the night, the sun won't be up.
Right. So we
Mercury,
won't see it.
Retrograde. Again, that's good.
I'm having a huge backwards moment today.
That's okay. We're like really in retrograde this moment. So that's great. Okay. So possibly Pacific time may be able to see it if they got up early enough and it's still dark.
Yes.
They might be able to see part of the full lunar eclipse. All right. But they'll have to get up a little bit earlier in the morning probably.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we go. No problem, Nancy. We're still good. So what do you think will happen with Mercury in retrograde plus these eclipse energy? I mean, is this an intense eclipse energy? I mean, they're always intense, but...
Yes. Well, when we're working with Sagittarius energy, it's always about the big picture.
Okay.
Okay? So it's get out of the details and look at the big picture. If you're stuck in the details, which Mercury will keep you in the details.
Right.
Okay? So the Mercury retrograde will have you worrying about the details of the day-to-day. But what the eclipses are doing are asking you to awaken to the big picture. Get out of the details. Or find the balance between the two.
Right?
Open up your mind. Open up your consciousness. Look at your life. See what needs to change. Don't be reactive when change comes in or forced to make a change. Look at it ahead of time and say, how can I be proactive? And make those changes before I'm forced to make those changes. Because the moment we're forced to change, that's the moment we're being reactive, right? If you want to be more conscious, you want to be more open, you want to be more aligned, you have to be proactive.
Right.
You cannot go into reactive mode, right? Reactive mode is more ego consciousness.
Yeah.
proactive is soul consciousness.
Now, there are positive aspects to retrogrades, and there is a positive aspect to Mercury retrograde.
Yes. Mercury retrogrades, and it's interesting because on Facebook, people will be like, wow, I'm having the best time of my life during this Mercury retrograde. They don't bother me. And for some people, they don't.
Right.
Natally, if you're born with a Mercury retrograde, they're in your natal chart, or if you're born during a Mercury retrograde, that is your mental high time.
Oh.
Okay, because you're aligned with your own personal birth energy when it's in a retrograde. Okay, so for those people that say, Mercury retrograde really works for me, more than likely Mercury is retrograde in your chart, or you've done a lot of personal evolution where you're not allowing the day-to-day to bother you as much. But for those that it does bother, well, it's because it's not a time to start anything new. It is a time to revise, replan. So think of retrograde, R-E, okay? Stick R-E in front of everything that Mercury rules. So you can rethink something, you can re-communicate it, you can replan, you can revisit, you can redo, you can get your car repaired, you know? So it's a really good time for revising anything. Okay. And looking at, okay, what's not working? What do I need to change in my day to day so that it is more aligned with where I'm going on a proactive level?
Right. I know that there was something that was going to be happening right on Christmas, but I don't remember what it was. Was it coming out of the shadow of Mercury retrograde, or was there something else that was happening right at Christmas? I remember you saying something at one point where I went, oh no. Yeah. I don't know if something was going into retrograde on Christmas or.
Something was coming out of retrograde.
I thought so.
Going direct.
I thought so.
Now I have to look through all my notes.
Oh no.
To see if I can find it.
This is a person who's really always very organized, but she comes so organized that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find everything, but.
Jupiter stations direct.
Jupiter.
Yes.
Oh.
And I think the reason you're getting that now as we're talking about Sagittarius is because Jupiter rules Sagittarius.
Okay.
So that's where that connection's coming in.
Okay.
So
the big planet will
big
bring
planet
us big things
direct.
On Christmas Day.
Hopefully, yes.
Well, I have to say, Nancy, you're always fun to have, and it's always unexpected what's going to happen, although you always come well prepared. It's just, it's planets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We are actually going to be starting a website. We are not anywhere near yet at that place, but we are going to be starting a website called Two Soul Sisters. So you heard it here first. It's going to be happening, and when we do get it, we'll have Nancy come back. We'll do some readings, the two of us, and we'll share that. But that will be a lot of fun.
Yes.
I know it. All right. So is there anything coming up for you, Nancy, that you want to share? Okay. I know you do monthly newsletters, so people can...
Yes. In the summertime, it's really hard for me to do my newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when the sun is in Leo... That is my downtime. That's when the sun's transiting my 12th house.
Ah.
So Leo's in my 12th house. It's a time where I just kind of remove myself from reality and go into hermit mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually surprised I'm doing this while the sun is in Leo and Mercury retrograde in Leo.
Good point.
Yeah.
Point taken. But go to her site. You can sign up for her newsletter on her site, which is Universal Sky. All right, I'm Lori Houston. I'm from intuitivesoul.com. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening to your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, give me a call on my new toll-free number, which is 855-444-SOUL. That's 855-444-7685. And book a one-on-one session with me. May love and joy be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.